Let's start with the stories that sit at the intersection of law, power, and individual rights, because there are three of them today that belong together. The first, and arguably most alarming, a federal court sentenced Daniel Sanchez Estrada to 30 years in prison for transporting zines. Zines. Self-published, hand-stapled, photocopied pamphlets. The Intercept's coverage is framing this correctly as a five-alarm fire for First Amendment protections, and the HN community has 347 comments on it, which tells you how seriously people are taking this.
The details matter here. The zines in question were reportedly anarchist political literature, and the prosecution used a combination of material support statutes and sentencing enhancements that were originally designed for terrorism cases. The legal architecture being deployed is the issue. When you can stack charges in ways that turn speech-adjacent activity into a decades-long sentence, you've created a chilling effect that extends far beyond the individual case. Lawyers on HN are pointing out that the sentence isn't just punitive toward Estrada. It signals to anyone else who might publish or distribute politically heterodox material.
And this connects directly to a broader pattern we've been tracking on the show, which is the post-pandemic normalization of legal tools that were framed as temporary or narrowly scoped. The material support statutes were written in the 1990s and expanded after 2001. The idea that they'd eventually reach someone transporting physical paper publications would have seemed absurd 20 years ago. Now it's a 30-year sentence. The HN thread has people drawing lines to civil rights-era prosecutions of pamphlet distributors. The comparison is uncomfortable, precisely because it's not entirely wrong.
Now contrast that with the same-day Supreme Court ruling on geofence warrants, which landed with 537 points and 250 comments on HN. The court held that geofence warrants, those dragnet requests to Google for location data on everyone within a geographic area during a specific time window, require the same constitutional protections as traditional search warrants. This is a Fourth Amendment ruling, and it's a significant one. Law enforcement had been using geofence warrants essentially as fishing expeditions. Give us everyone who was near this bank during the robbery, and we'll figure out suspects from there.
The business implications here are real, Marcus. I mean, the policy implications are real. Google and Apple were receiving tens of thousands of these requests annually. The ruling narrows the scope considerably. Courts will now require probable cause tied to a specific individual, not just geographic proximity. From a civil liberty standpoint, this is the right outcome. From a law enforcement standpoint, investigators who had come to rely on these tools as a first step rather than a last resort are going to need to rebuild some investigative workflows.
There's an interesting technical footnote in the HN discussion. Several commenters pointed out that this ruling arrives at a moment when location data is becoming increasingly decentralized. If Apple's privacy features and on-device processing mean that less raw location data flows through centralized servers, the practical enforceability of geofence warrants diminishes anyway. The legal ruling and the technical trajectory are moving in the same direction, which is somewhat rare.
Then there's the passport leak. 1 million passports exposed through a breach at Nephos, which runs a system called PuffPal, used by cannabis clubs. The Verge has the coverage. What makes this story structurally interesting beyond the headline number is what it reveals about data collection practices in industries that had no historical reason to collect identity documents at scale. Cannabis clubs in many jurisdictions require age verification, so they started collecting passport scans. That data then lives in a third-party SaaS platform with the security posture of a startup, not a government identity provider.
And this is a pattern we see repeatedly. The data collection practice emerges for a legitimate compliance reason, verify age, prevent fraud, but the secondary question of how long to retain that data, how to secure it, and what liability attaches to a breach never gets the same rigor. The GDPR in Europe is supposed to address data minimization, but enforcement is inconsistent and retroactive. 1 million passport numbers are now in circulation, and the individuals affected have essentially no recourse beyond replacing their documents.
The HN comments are notably dry on this one. 4 comments, 25 points, which I think reflects a kind of breach fatigue. people aren't surprised anymore. That normalization is itself worth naming. Each individual breach is a genuine harm to real people, and the aggregate effect of normalizing these events is that we lower our expectations for data stewardship industry-wide.